As we have our eyes closed, we have a deep breath in, deep breath out. As we are focusing on your word, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Breathe in love, breathe out fear. And the scriptures also says, do not be anxious about anything, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. Breathe in peace. Breathe out anxiety. It also says in his word, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power has made you perfect in weakness. Breathe in strength from God. Breathe out weakness. It also says in Romans 15, verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Breathe in hope. Breathe out doubt. Amen. Let's go in prayer. Father, thank you for your love and mercy this morning, that we can come to you. You are the King of kings. You are the King of glory. Help us to have just a bit of faith this morning. Give us faith. Give us the ability to trust you this morning. Help us to hold on to your word. Transform us from within. We can't do it for ourselves, Father. We can rely on you. I pray as I share this morning that it comes from you. Your word is spoken through me, Lord, this morning. Convict us. May your Holy Spirit convict us to live lives that are glorifying to you, Lord. And I pray that we can do that by faith. Thank you for your love and mercy in this time, in this space, in this morning. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Please bear with me. My better half is not here this morning. So I committed to the sermon and we double booked ourselves. So she couldn't join for the sermon. She sends her love and good messages from you guys. And we'll see if she'll be here next week. But she's at Shall We Dance. So she booked that with my family in advance before I was asked to preach. But amen.
Come on, bro. Let's
Let's get going. So what we're looking at today is pursuing faith. And I hope by the end of this morning, you can just have a bit of faith. And if you have faith, that's amazing. But let's grow our faith a bit more. We are pursuing it this morning. If you notice, we've been pursuing a whole bunch of things. Let's go to the next slide. Can I get the thing? Okay. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, I know there's another chapter in 2 Timothy, but I want to focus on this one this morning. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So we're going to be focusing on faith this morning and hopefully answering a few questions. And if you go to the next slide. Oh, yeah. Yes. So that's, I made this up when I was at school, a geometry problem, where we want to focus on Jesus. Why are we here this morning? We're focusing on Jesus. Well, obviously, one of those aspects, and I think it's a very important aspect, is our faith in Jesus. You don't need to draw that, but that's just an illustration that came to mind when I think of the scripture. We're just taking one step closer to Jesus. All I want you guys to do this morning is take one step. We're not going further away. And I know Nfundo, she shared this when we had Bible talk. She sort of the other way around going back, because if we can go to Jesus, we can go out to the world. So kind of that we're going out of the circle, that we're going to Jesus first. We need to do that at this time. So hopefully I want to answer three questions this morning. If you go to the next slide. What is faith? Define that. Because we can often have misinterpreted ideas what faith is, and do that through scriptures. Where do I get my faith from? Where do I get my faith? And why is my faith so important? Why is my faith so important? Why is your faith so important? Because it affects those around us. So let's go to the first question. So let's all please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to be in Hebrews quite a bit this morning. So if you want to make a note there, Hebrews is an amazing book. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And by faith, I'm showing the actual scripture, because I want you guys to listen. I want you guys to get to the scripture this morning. So from verse 1, are we all there? Let's turn to our Bibles or our phones, and let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. All there? Yeah. We're good? Okay. Now faith, this is this Holman Christian Standard Bible. Now faith is a reality of what is hoped for, and the proof of what is not seen. By faith, or for this, by our ancestors were approved. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So that what is seen was made from things not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man, because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith. By faith, Enoch was taken away, and so he did not experience death, for he was not to be found because God took him away. For before he was taken away, he was approved as one who pleased God. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. I'm just going to stop there for a moment. Do you guys see? It's amazing how the Bible gives us a clear definition of faith and gives us some examples. What are those examples? We have Abel, Cain and Abel. He offered a sacrifice to God, but Cain also offered a sacrifice, but he did not do it in faith. The other example is this weird thing in Genesis where Enoch gets taken away. It doesn't say how long he lives, but by faith, he went with God. And verse 6, if we can very clearly see here, right, now without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need faith. We need to hold on to God. We need to see that. And I'm going to skip a few verses because it goes through more examples of Sarah, of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah. Please read that in your time. It's beautiful. But I'll go to verse 13. These all died in faith, these people he's referring to, although they did not receive the things that were promised, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on earth. So what is this verse saying here? All these people, by faith, did they see what they had? Did they see what they had? No, they didn't. If you want someone to interact, please interact, feel free. But there was something promised to them. God promised something to them. A land that will not fade away. Often we forget about this, but we have that same thing today. We get to have heaven. We get to be part of heaven one day with Jesus. And we get to be part of heaven today as well. All right. They were looking towards a promised land, and we get to have that same hope. I'll keep reading from verse 32, if you guys can jump in the same chapter, to verse 32. What more can I say? For time is too short for me to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, and escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength and weakness, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Other people were tortured, not accepting the release, so they might gain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, as well as bonds of imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they died by the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these were proved through their faith. They did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. It's amazing when you think about it. They went through so much, but they didn't get the promise. They didn't get to see it in their lifetime. We get to be post that. After that, we get to know that Jesus has been killed, put on the cross, and put to death, and raised to life. We get to be a part of that. And obviously, we haven't physically seen him. That's what faith is. I don't know how many of you guys have seen Jesus on the cross. Anyone? No, none of us. And we have, for some reason, we have faith that Jesus has done that. If you go back to the reading. Sorry, one moment. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. So that is what faith is. I hope we get a clear idea of what faith is. And that also brings up the question, what is not faith? And it's going to be a bit challenging to go through that. And we'll see, what does that look like? What is not faith? Right. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3.
Come on, bro.
Cool. Let's go, guys.
To the Bible.
Amen. The Bible's giving us clear descriptions of what's happening. So, what is not faith? Right. So, a bit of context. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, right? And Timothy is an evangelist in the church. He's trying to build the community, trying to establish a church. But unfortunately, false teachings have come about. And these people are living a life that's counter to God. And let's see and pick up from there. from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus so that you may instruct these certain people not to teach false doctrine and or to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies. These promote empty speculations rather than God's plan, which operates by faith. Now, the goal of our instructions is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and turned aside to fruitless discussion. They want to be teachers of the law, although they don't understand what they are saying or what are they insisting on. And I'll jump to the next verse and later down. I'll come back to the verse in between there. From verse 18, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you instructions in keeping with the prophecy previously made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight a good fight, having faith and a clear conscience, or good conscience, in my translation, which some have rejected and have shipwrecked the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander. When I have delivered them to Satan, so they might be taught not to blaspheme. So we see an example. Imagine being called out in the letter. Imagine saying, okay, Andrew and John Doe, they've shipwrecked their faith. They're not following faith. They're teaching speculations and their own things. It would be challenging to call someone out on that. What have they done? They've shipwrecked the faith. And what does the shipwreck look like? Is there one person on the ship? Is there one person on the ship? It takes people, people of God. Your faith affects those around you. Do we believe that? Right? If I choose to go away from the faith and shipwreck others' faith, I'm affecting those around us. We can't say we don't need faith. We need faith. But if we choose to go the opposite direction, the complete opposite direction, we can have a shipwreck faith. And part of that is having faith and a clear conscience. And is the next slide there. I don't think this video is going to work, but I love Superman. I don't know you guys. Who loves Superman? Anyone? Superman? Who's watched Superman? Don't want to give spoilers, but the video's there. The scene here, it's not going to show because it seems to be not working. But very simply, the story here is that Lex Luthor has Superman's dog. You don't mess with a man's dog, right? And he comes through the door, bolting through, okay, where's my dog? And he has a cup of coffee, says, I don't know about your dog. He's lying straight to his face. He's lying straight to man's face. And don't we do that with God sometimes? Where we lie straight to his face. Isn't sometimes we have that attitude towards God, that we lie straight to his face and those around us, right? Where we don't tell us what's actually happening in our hearts. Oh, I'm good, brother, I'm good, sister. But where's your actual heart at? Part of having a faith is having a clear conscience. I know for myself, when I've gone through, it's crazy, it's almost 11 years, I've been able to be a disciple, to follow Jesus. When I've been the most faithless, I didn't have a clear conscience. I was feeling guilty. I was in sin. I was doing things. I wasn't open. I just remember distinctly, I think one time I was at church and Duncan looked at me and I was like, I was just downcast. I was discouraged, but I was in sin. I had to be open with him about that sin. I had to get open. And as soon as I did that, my faith just improved. But if we don't be open about our feelings and our emotions and how we are and our sin, we shipwreck our faith. We have to have a clear conscience. And this, I think there's a consistent theme. If you see the words repeated again and again, clear conscience about faith, with faith. It's such a close link, which is amazing. And that gets to the next question. Where do I get faith from? So if I want to have faith, where do I get it from? And it's a simple verse, and there are more scriptures probably to it. And I like this translation. It says, so faith comes from what is heard. What is heard comes through the message about Christ. I'll say it again. So faith comes through what is heard. What is heard comes through the message about Christ. So can faith come from something else? Can faith come from something else? Yes or no? Can you get faith from something else? Yes, most certainly. We can go to Instagram, TikTok, social media, newspapers, articles, people, teachers, communities, and they say this thing, the world is going to the gutters, right? But what are we holding on to? What do we have faith in, actually? Do we have faith in the message about Christ Jesus. That's the difference, right? We can have faith in a lot of things, and we have it without even knowing sometimes. We have faith in certain things, but faith comes through what is heard. What are we listening to? What is our input? Are we in God's Bible? And hopefully, we're going to actually practice the scripture now. I know I have some practice later, but I think this is the most practical thing we can do for our faith, is actually read God's word. Let's do that together. I'm going to put it on the board, next slide. Okay, let's practice this together. And I want you guys, as I'm reading it, let's take away. We have takeaways we're going to get from here, and see what is this. What is Paul saying here? This is right after speaking about these people that are teaching false teaching. So he's going countering that false teaching, right? So this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. So who should accept this? Everyone. If you're part of the community, you want to be a Christ follower, we should accept this, right? Let's see what Paul says here. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Right, I'll just go slowly. And I am the worst of them, Paul says. But I receive mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who will believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever, ever. Amen. Amen. What's it saying there? We can read the Bible as fast as we want and not catch anything. Are we listening to what it says? What is it saying? Anyone? I want to see some feedback. So my teacher and me can't stop wanting to get feedback. You guys, what can we see here? What's it saying? Apologies? Extraordinary patience. So God has extraordinary patience. Do we believe that with me? With those around us? Okay, if you go to the next slide. This is what I took out. Yes, there's a few things there. So he came to save sinners. And it says, I am the worst. Paul has a mindset, I am the worst of them. Do we have that mindset? That I am the worst of the sinners. God came to save me. I need saving. I need saving. Or, okay, I'll save myself. I'm going to pull myself by my bootstraps and save myself. We can't do that. I need saving. I am the worst of sinners. Paul was a religious teacher. And by the end of his life, he's saying, I need saving. I am the worst of sinners. I need help. Because the opposite of that is saying, okay, I know everything, which I don't. Right? And we understand, okay, I know I can save myself. No. Paul has that mindset. And this is, again, the trustworthy saying we can say. Right? I am the worst of them. But are we just dead in our sin? Are we dead in our sin? No. What does it say? But I have received mercy. Do we believe that? Do we believe that we have mercy in Christ? Do we believe that? Is it part of our faith, part of our core beliefs that God has given me mercy today? I might sin, I might go against God every day, but I have mercy in him. Are we called to just continue going in sin? By no means, it says in Romans 6, but let's continue going on. Let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Uli. So that Jesus can show his extraordinary patience in me, right? He's patient with us. We receive mercy so show mercy to me. But is that just for myself only? Is it just an individual walk? No. What does it say? To help other believers believe him too. So they can have and hold on to eternal life, right? So that we can help others and there is eternal life in him. That's awesome. It's amazing. Do you guys believe this? Do we believe it? I don't know if you can believe it, guys. Do you guys believe it? That Jesus is king. That's the next slide. Jesus is king. He is the immortal one. He is the invisible one. He is the only real God. Not your TikTok, not your Instagram, not your teacher, not the president. He is the only king. Jesus is king. Do you believe that? In the core of cores. Can I get an amen? Right. He has the glory. He has the honor. That's what the scripture is saying. Paul believed with his life. The apostles believed. They died for this. That he is king. Are we holding on to that? And that leads to the last question. No, I like doing short sermons. Stick to the point. Why is my faith so important? Okay, why is it so important? And I've said it already, and obviously it's overlapping. Our faith is valuable to God first. Do you guys know that? It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, you've had struggles and various trials, so the genuineness of your faith more valuable than God. Your faith is more valuable than gold. But what do we have? We have trials and persecutions. Do we all have an easy time? No, we don't. We need to realize how so valuable. Don't let it go down. Right. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, it says, let us hold to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You might say, okay, Drew, I'm not faithful. I'm not enough. But good news, God is faithful. He is faithful to you. If you learn nothing from this morning, he is faithful to you. In your sin, in your life, he is faithful. He's faithful to his promises. Right? And obviously, I think this is also important. If we have faith and believe we have faith, faith requires action. Right? James 2, verse 17, and you can go through the whole passage later, but again, faith by itself is not accompanied by action, it is dead. If you don't have action, if we don't live this faith out, it is dead. Right? And I think, I've already said it, but I'm going to say it again. Our faith affects those around us. Do you believe that? Right? And again, it's back to the analogy of the shipwreck. If you're in a shipwreck, and you choose to not hold your part of the ship, what will happen? It's going to go astray. It's going to hit the shores. It's going to break down. Your faith affects those around. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1. Again, the whole thing, right? Faith is not just a belief. It's lived out. We affect those around us. We can shipwreck others' faith as well. And we can also build each other up. And I'm hoping this morning that you guys can be built up what I'm sharing. It might be challenging. So let's go through some practicals. Hebrews 13. Verse 1 to 18. And I love using practicals from the Bible, because the Bible just gives us the practicals, tells us what to do. Right? Let's see how we do this. Hebrews 13, verse 1 to 18. Let brotherly love continue. Right, that's the first instruction. So if we're living by faith, let brotherly love continue. If you've been loving in the community, the brothers and sisters, let's continue doing that. It's not always easy to do that by faith. We have to do that by faith. All these things we need to do by faith. Don't neglect to show hospitality. For by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without knowing it. We can't see angels. Has anyone seen an angel before? That'd be amazing. But we know when sometimes we might be having angels there when we welcome and give hospitality. Remember the prisoners, as though you were there in prison with them. And mistreated, as though you yourselves were suffering bodily. Okay, this is an important one. For the next one, I was speaking just about those who are suffering. Remember those who are suffering. I think it's going back to 1 Corinthians, when it speaks about when one part of the body hurts, the rest of the body hurts. If someone is in prison, we must pray for them, be with them. But I think the next one is very important. I think it says, marriage must be respected by all. It doesn't say marriage must be respected by married people. Marriage must be respected by all. It sounds weird. What is marriage? It's a covenant we've made with our spouse that represents the connection with humanity and God. God is the head of the body, and we are his church. We are his community. Marriage must be respected by all. Right? If you're a single person, we must not live as if we're married. We can't live as if we're married if we are a single person. If you don't believe me, let's read the scripture. And the marriage bed must be kept undefiled, because God will judge immoral people and the adulterers. Oof, that's challenging, right? If we're living a lifestyle that's counter to God, and our consciences are seared, and we say, okay, it's okay to defile marriage. Not okay. It's not on. And it's challenging. And I was single for almost 10 years. As a single brother, it was very tempting to want to do things my own way. But by faith, God, I wasn't expecting, but God let me be married. Amen. I've been married for 1.5 years. It's crazy. It's amazing that God's doing it. I'm so grateful for that marriage. And I'm so grateful for what God has done for that, through that. And he's making me a better man through that marriage as well. Do you guys respect marriage? Do we respect marriage? Do we all respect marriage? And this next one's a challenging one. Your life should be free from the love of money. Oof. Your life should be free from, this is a good practical, free from the love of money. And you say, okay, how do I do that? Next verse helps us. Okay? Be satisfied with what you have. Do you have enough? You do have enough. God has given us enough. For he himself said, this is what we need to believe and have faith in. He said, what did he say? I will never leave you or forsake you. Because why do we want more money? Because we think we're going to get rejected, be on the streets, all alone. But even if you're on the streets, all alone, what does he say? I will never leave you or forsake you in his word.
Come on, bro.
He won't leave us. Therefore, we boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I will not live a life of fear. What can man do to me? What can man actually do to you? All they can really do is kill. The worst thing someone can do is kill me. And that's not even going to be conquered. Because Jesus conquered death. Guys, believe that. If I did not go and get in a car crash today, do you guys believe that if I'm in Christ, I'll be raised to new life? Do you believe that? Do we hold on to that? Right? You might not see me in heaven, but you have faith and trust that a brother or sister in Christ will go to heaven, will be in heaven, be with God today. Where was I? Okay, remember your leaders. This is a challenging one. Remember your leaders who've spoken God's word to you, right? As you carefully observe the outcomes of their lives, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's speaking about leaders. Are we faithful in the spaces we are? Are we being trustworthy and seeing their lives as well? Because there's a certain accountability as a leader. It's not easy. It's not easy being a ministry where you have to watch your life, but be open and be in the life consistently. It's a good thing, actually, being a leader sometimes, because you have to be exposed. And you get exposed. This is hard, but it actually helps me grow. It helps us grow. Where am I? Sorry. Okay. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's amazing. That's just a saying by itself. Don't be led astray by various kinds of strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be established by grace and not by foods, since those involved in them have not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle do not have a right to eat, for the body and those animals whose blood is brought into the most holy place by the high priest as a sin offering offered burned outside the camp. Right, so it's just speaking about the Old Testament requirements of a lamb being slain, but I'm not going to go through those details. Loki did a much better job than me with that. Amen. Therefore, Jesus also suffered outside the gate. Where did he suffer? He didn't suffer in Jerusalem. He suffered all alone on a cross for you, so that he might sanctify the people by his own blood. He sanctifies us by his own blood. Let us then go outside the camp, bearing his disgrace. Let us imitate his life, essentially. That's what it's saying. For we do not have an enduring city here. Instead, we seek one once to come. Therefore, let through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise that is the fruits of our lips that confess his name. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with sacrifices. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will count and give account, those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. Again, that clear conscience word comes up again. Do we have a clear conscience? Are there things you need to get open about? And as we wrap up, I'll read Hebrews 12. But before we do that, let me just have a few thoughts. Husbands, are we living faithfully? Wives, do you support your husband and also living faithfully as well? I'm not sure there's teens here, but teens, if you're listening later, I hope you guys are also learning about faith. Explore your faith. I know myself, I get to work with teens every single day, and it's a challenge. And I'm just trying to give them a bit of faith every day. Campus and singles, There's actually not many. We need to grow in that. We need to actually say, okay, what's happening in that area? You might say, okay, I'm the youth. I'm 31 next week. I'm not getting to be youth. We need more youth in the church, and you can't just physically make babies. We could do that, but we need people that are on campus to give them faith. How are we investing? I think Pinky mentioned the other day, I think last Sunday, but we need to invest in our youth. We need to invest in the youth. Are we going out to those who are on campus? There's so many people that are exploring their faith, understanding what does it mean to follow Jesus. That's how I came to church, through campus. It's one of my things I'm very close to, because it's, for me, how I became a disciple, how I chose to follow Jesus. Single moms or fathers, it's not easy, but let's live by faith. And everyone, let's pursue faith together. Let's invest to be the people God calls us to be and run after him. So the last few slides, again, that's the same imagery. Let's run after him, but let's do that by faith. Because we can have all the rules, but we don't do it by faith, it's meaningless. So let's read Hebrews 12 as we wrap up and look at the cross. Therefore, since we have also such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Instagram. No, it doesn't say that. Check with me. Don't just let me lead you guys astray. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith. He is the source. If you want to have faith, go to the source. For who the joy lay before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of God. That's amazing. For all he said before him, I can't stand that joy. I can't. He endured the cross for you and me. For the joy set before. What joy? What joy is there going to the cross? What joy is there? It's not much. But he knew there was something else. He had faith. Jesus had faith that he will see his people with him one day. That earth will be restored as it should be. New heaven, new earth. Revelation 22. We can have faith in that. It says in its word. Let's go to that and let's read it. Not now, but let's read it and wrestle with those questions. What happens when we die? When Jesus died, he didn't die only. He died, he battled Satan. There was this battle that was waged, but he did it for us. He fought the battle for us. He fought the good fight that we couldn't fight. Let us set our eyes on Jesus. Let us hold on to what he's done for us. Let's remember the cross. Amen.